Just by way of explanation, in our Bible readings, we take a book from the Hebrew Scriptures and a book from the New Covenant Scriptures, the Greek Scriptures, and we alternate between them. We have just finished our readings in 1 Timothy, which is in the Greek Scriptures. So now we turn back to the Hebrew Scriptures, and the book in sequence is the book of Ezra. So this morning, God willing, we're going to look at the book of Ezra and find what lesson it has for us. Ezra chapter 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? May his God be with him. Now let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. That's how the book of Ezra opens. It follows close on the second book of Kings, which we were looking at before we went to the book of Timothy. For the preceding context of this proclamation, we just turn back a page to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, from verse 14 through 23. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 is the preceding historical context, beginning at verse 14. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And then from verse 22 to 23, we have what is repeated in Ezra chapter 1. The first year of Cyrus, we are in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Cyrus, that's the first year of his reign over Babylon, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The mouth of Jeremiah. God had spoken through his servant Jeremiah the prophet, and here's a record of it in chapter 25 of Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah 25, starting from verse 8. Jeremiah 25, from verse 8 to 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words which I pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. Again in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, verses 10 to 14. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Those and other prophecies in the book of Jeremiah are those that are being referred to here in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The book of Proverbs says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. And so it was here as well. Cyrus made a proclamation, which was a verbal announcement in all his kingdom, but he didn't stop at a verbal announcement. He went on to put it into writing. That's the second half of verse 1. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. What did he say in his proclamation and in his document? Verse 2. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. That prophecy was also an echo of the prophecy of Isaiah. God spoke through Isaiah with words to that effect. Chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 25. Isaiah 41 and verse 25. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. That's a reference to Cyrus. From the rising of the sun he shall call on my name, and he shall come against princes as through mortar, as the potter treads clay. That was the prophecy of Isaiah over a century before the people of Israel were taken captive to Babylon. That's how far in advance God spoke of Cyrus. And he says to Cyrus in another chapter of Isaiah, I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. I call you by name long before you are born. So Cyrus here speaks about the Lord God in verse 2. The Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem. There's a reference here to the people that were in dispersion, in captivity. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? May his God be with him. Now let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. In that statement, he is God. Literally, he is the God. Cyrus is admitting, confessing to the God of Israel as being the true God. And then came an invitation to those who were going up. Verse 3, now let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord. But there's also a word here for those who lacked the needed resources to go, or who did not want to go. Verse 4, and whoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, beside the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. An invitation for people to provide the resources for those who went up to Jerusalem to build the temple. It was like that at the Exodus, and this seems to be a repeat of the circumstances that the people of Israel faced at the time of the Exodus. If we turn back to Exodus 12, Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the God had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now here they are being helped materially again, centuries later, almost 1,000 years later. Let's see, the Exodus was 1400 before Common Era, and this return from Babylon was about 500. So it was 900 years later that history repeated itself. And the invitation here was for those who perhaps wanted to go but could not afford to. The king said, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Not instead of, but in addition to. Here's the response of the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Verse 5. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all those whose spirits God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. For the second time we find God is the moving force behind these events. He stirred up the spirit of the conqueror, the great king of Cyrus, and now he stirs up the spirits of the people of Benjamin and of Judah, of the tribes. It was the leaders who began, first of all, to arouse themselves to action. And the tribes mentioned are Judah and Benjamin. Those are the tribes most closely connected to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is actually in the territory of Benjamin, on the very border of Benjamin. And then south of that is the tribe of Judah. So the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites also arose. With all those whose spirit had moved, God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. We can understand why the priests and Levites would go, because they were the ones that were involved in temple ministry. And yet they were not restricted to those two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, nor to the tribe of Levi, because we read at the middle of verse 5, with all those whose spirits God had moved. So there were others from other tribes as well who went. At God's initiative, they arose to go to Jerusalem to build the house of the Lord. There's a prophecy like that in Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 8. Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 8. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we have not offended, because they have sinned against the Lord in the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Move from the midst of Babylon, go out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be like the rams before the flocks. This passage describes how eventually the people in their captivity would seek to return back to Jerusalem, making a pledge to renew a covenant of loyalty with their God. Also, God speaks against those who have taken advantage of their distress and said they got it coming to them. Here it is, all verse 7. All who found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we have not offended, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice. They deserve it. God was very angry with people who said that against his people. He said, I afflicted my people lightly, and they added to the affliction of my people. This is God now proclaiming that they're going to return to their own land. Verse 6 of Ezra chapter 1. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Not only that, but Cyrus brought forth, verse 7, those articles of the house of the Lord. Verse 7, King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. Cyrus brought forth those vessels. That's exactly what God foretold in Jeremiah chapter 27. We go back again to Jeremiah in chapter 27. I'll read from verse 19. Jeremiah 27 from verse 19. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the carts, and concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. There was the prophecy, and now it was being fulfilled before their eyes. Here's a list of the various items that they brought forth. Verse 9 to 11. This is the number of them: 30 gold platters, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 410 silver basins of a similar kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Sheshbazzar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. All the vessels. There's one important omission. No sacred furniture here. There's no mention of the ark. There's no mention of the table of showbread. No mention of the golden candlestick. There's no mention of the altar of incense that were all in the temple in the holy place. It just disappeared. And probably what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar stripped the gold off them and destroyed them. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 16 is a postscript on that. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'll read from verse 14 to verse 16. Jeremiah 3. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. So that's the answer to the puzzle as to what happened in the sacred vessels. Probably the same thing that happened to the ark. They disappeared. Coming back to Ezra, we're now in chapter 2, a huge list of names. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Ezra chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, every one to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Re'eliah, Mordechai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. And then we have a list of the people of Israel. In verses 1 and 2, the people that came from the province are the leading people. Verse 2, those who came with Zerubbabel were Yeshua, etc. Yeshua was from the priestly lineage, and he was the high priest at that time. He was high priest, and he returned to Israel to take up his duties as high priest once they rebuilt the temple. From verse 3 to verse 35, we have a list of men of Israel and the cities in which they dwelt. Verse 3, the people of Parosh, 2,172. Parosh was one of the towns that had been desolated by Nebuchadnezzar. And so on, all the way down to verse 35. Yeshua and Baana and others were the leading dignitaries. The rest were citizens of Israel. We won't read the list of names, but we'll go on to verse 36 to verse 39, which lists the priests. This second chapter lists people in their categories. First of all, the people of Israel, and now verse 36 to 39, the lists of priests. The priests, the sons of Jediah, of the house of Yeshua, 973. The sons of Immer, 1052. The sons of Pashur, 1247. The sons of Harim, 1017. So far was the list of the priests. The next category, verse 40 alone, was the list of Levites. Only one verse is given to the list of Levites. The Levites, the sons of Yeshua and Kadmiel, of the sons of Hodaviah, 74. Later on in this book, we find out that the Levites were very backward in coming forward. That's why there weren't many to be mentioned. And then in verse 41, the list of singers. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. Asaph was one of those leaders in song appointed by David to lead in song in the temple. And they were going back to the temple. They had to go back with a song as well. Not just with weeping and with mourning, but with a song. Singing is very vital in the worship of God. And here we are with the singers also listed. But there were three singers. There was the sons of Asaph, there were the sons of Jeduthun, and there was another one also mentioned. It was only the sons of Asaph who were coming forward. Verse 42, another category were the gatekeepers. Verse 42 of Ezra 2, the sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Ater, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Akub, the sons of Hatita, and the sons of Shobai, 139 in all. They needed gatekeepers for the temple. Then comes a list, quite an extensive one, from verse 43 to 54, of the Nethinims. The Nethinim, verse 43, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hasufa, the sons of Tabaoth, etc., all the way down to verse 54. Those Nethinims are the given ones. They are called the given ones. Nethinim means those that are given. Their history is found in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, we read about the inhabitants of a city called Gibeon, who pretended that they were ambassadors from a far country and managed to deceive Joshua and the leaders of Israel into making a covenant of peace with them. When the people of Israel, the leaders of Israel, found out that they had been deceived, they said, from now on, you will have to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. You'll have to cut wood for the temple sacrifices. You'd have to draw water for the priests to wash the sacrifices in. And here we find these people about 900 years later still being loyal to their pledge. These Nethinim, when they were taken captive, did not need to cut wood or to draw water anymore because there was no temple to serve. They might well have stayed on in Babylon as free people, but no, they believed in keeping their promise, their pledge, their covenant with the people of Israel, and they willingly returned back to Israel to serve. They willingly took upon themselves their duty that had been imposed on them 900 years before. They were loyal to their oath. They were an example to the people of Israel. The people of Israel broke their oaths, but these Nethinims, to their credit, to their everlasting credit, always kept their pledge. Verse 55 to 58 is a list of the children of Solomon's servants. Verse 55. the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Sopheret, the sons of Peruda, etc. And verse 58 rounds up the number. All the Nethinim and the children of Solomon's servants were 392. There were some people who wished to serve as priests in the temple, but they had a doubtful pedigree, from verse 61 to 63. And the sons of the priests, the sons of Habaya, the sons of Koz, and the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite and was called by their name, these sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. For some reason, they had lost their genealogy, or maybe they hadn't been careful enough to register as valid priests. Verse 63 says, and the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things until a priesthood could consult with the Urim and Tamim. Urim and Tamim are articles that the high priest wore in a breastplate on his chest. The high priest had a pouch on his chest adorned with jewels, and inside this pouch were two articles called Urim and Tumim. Urim means lights, and Tumim means perfections. And by these, the priest was able to discern God's mind and God's will. But since they were taken captive to Babylon, these articles were not to be found anymore. They just disappeared. And so these priests were out on a limb. They could not partake of priestly functions, nor could they enjoy the priestly privileges. The total number is given to us in chapter 2, verse 64 to 67. The whole congregation together was 42,360, besides their male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and there are 200 men and women singers. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, and their donkeys 6,720. Some of the heads of the fathers' houses, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect it in its place. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas, 5,000 minas of silver, and 100 priestly garments. So the priests and the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. What is the reason for such a long and exhaustive list? It is to show that it was to their credit that they gave up the ease of living in Babylon and returned back to a difficult life, but a life of devotion and of obedience to God. And so they're mentioned by name here and by number. The people settled down in their hometowns, rebuilt the ruins, and in the seventh month, which is the Feast of Trumpets, all Israel were in their cities. Chapter 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Well, we won't go into chapter 3, but there's the introduction to the book of Ezra. Every word of God is good and is profitable. And we learn from this history of Israel, things they did right, things they did wrong, examples we can follow, examples we should avoid. For now, we're going to close with a word of prayer. And if there are any questions or comments, please feel free after prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not forget those who are willing to serve you, even at great personal cost and inconvenience. Help us to learn from the example of these returning captives to seek the house of God, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to us. Bless this word to our hearts, we pray, in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.